This is the Coach's Ally Podcast, helping with personal brand, advancing careers, and elevating the coaching experience.
This is the Coach's Ally with Tom Kelsey. The Coach's Ally exists to help coaches advance in their career and enhance the coaching experience. Today's guest is Dan Tudor. Dan's name is recognized around the country as an expert in the recruiting industry and the recruiting game. He has had a company for numerous years, and he has a website, dantudor.com. He has conferences, has Tudor University, a great newsletter. You need to follow him on Twitter. He keeps up with all the leading trends in the industry. He is a unbelievable resource for coaches at any level that are trying to learn and master the game of recruiting, which, of course, is a tough game to recruit. Dan, welcome to today's show.
Hey, Tom. Thank you very much. I don't even want to interrupt you. Just keep going. I'm just going to sit here and listen.
Dan, you run Total Recruiting Solutions. You help college coaches and college programs become better at their recruiting. Now, my first thing off the bat is, what's changed in this recruiting game since you started your business, when you first got started?
Wow. Well, we started in 2005. So when you look back, I mean, that's only 10 years ago. So you're not talking about ancient history, but it seems like it in recruiting because, Tom, what's happened is, of course, the revolution in social media. Back then, there was no real social media. That started a couple of years later. You still had coaches that I think relied a lot on letters primarily. And so we've really seen an entire just sea shift with what's emphasized now and how communication happens with recruits. I will say that one thing that hasn't changed in the 10 years is the kids pretty much want the same things from coaches. And this is what we try to get coaches to understand is college coaches many times will approach an athlete as they would a fellow coach. They'll talk logically. They'll speak eloquently. They'll write eloquently. And they'll try to make a logical argument as to, here's why you should come take a look at us, because look how big our campus is. We have this many majors. We've finished in the top three of our conference the last 7 years. I've been here as a coach for the last 10. And logically, as adults, we would use those kinds of things to assess and rate the value of a particular organization, or in this case, athletic program. Kids look at it completely differently. And so one of the things that we have not seen change very much is what kids want are a couple of key things. And this is the program that we run at Tudor Collegiate Strategies is a program called Total Recruiting Solution. And what we emphasize in that program is what kids want in communication is they want to know what the plan for them is. They want to know why I should compete at your school. If you're talking to a college coach specifically, why should I go to your school? And they want to know that they're wanted, and they judge that many times based on, is the coach asking me to commit? Do they seem kind of anxious about me being there and me giving a decision? Because if you don't, then they're going to view it as, well, maybe they don't want me as much. So it's a fascinating topic to kind of thin slice and figure out all the pieces of the puzzle, how do they fit together for each particular athlete? So there's many things that have changed, rightly so. There's a lot of things that haven't changed. I would also say, you know, we've seen a lot of transition now in programs. A lot of coaches that were coaches in the throughout the 90s, early 2000s, there's been a greater percentage of those that have retired, moved on, been asked to leave. And so you have now more than ever a younger set of coaches coming in, which affords, I think, colleges the opportunity to kind of have some new voices out recruiting, but it also is really imperative that those young coaches know how to approach it the right way. So a lot of change going on in it. There are some constants that we see.
We as coaches, I'm going to call myself a coach. Mm-hmm. We use the line, hey, it's not brain surgery. But then right. We go and we talk and we complain and we say, oh, recruiting is so hard. So what is it? Is it really easy, not brain surgery, or is it so hard? What's the answer?
You know, great question. I would, as you were asking that question, the visual that came to mind, and my daughter is a distance runner, was in high school and early in her college career. I think the way that I kind of answer that question, or maybe the visual that I like to give coaches, is that recruiting is a marathon, not a sprint. Or if you look at it like a horse race, I think if you think of the Kentucky Derby, the horses are all in the gate, bell goes off, the race starts, and you see this pack of horses traveling pretty much, you know, right together, and then close to that first turn, they take their position along the rail, and you know, coach maybe a horse that has the better position might end up along the rail first and in first place. I see a lot of college coaches that into that first turn for a recruit looks and says, "Oh, we're in fifth place. There's four coaches ahead of me, or four horses ahead of me. I'm going to give up." And so they pull back the reins, give up, and they'll go start another race somewhere. Of course, in a horse race, it doesn't matter who's in first in the first turn. That's a long race. You're positioning yourself for down the stretch and at the finish line. I think that, going back to your question, is it brain surgery or is it really easy? I would sort of return that it is a marathon and not a sprint. It is a horse race. It's not something to be concerned with. Where are we at? Do they want to come here after the second letter they received from us as a coach? It's really something that you look at, how do I position myself and play for the long run? Because if I'm going to recruit this kid for 6 months, 8 months, 18 months, or 2.5 years now in some sports, if I'm going to recruit him or her for that long, I don't need to be first right away, but I need to be telling a great story to keep them engaged and over time get them more comfortable talking to me than other coaches, get them sharing more things with me, get them coming to campus sooner. Those are the things that I think over time, as we've worked with clients, those are the things that tend to make a difference. Now, I lay all that out. For some coaches, doing that process is very hard. That is brain surgery to them. But if you can work off of the system, if you can be consistent and methodical, that tends to win the race versus I've got to give me three things that I can send to a kid to get them to want to come to our school. And so I don't have to work very hard and I can move on to the next class or take care of all my other responsibilities as a coach. There's nothing out there like that exists. It really comes down to who is going to take a long-term view of the process and plan for it and be good at it.
We hear the term born salesman, and we also hear the term he's a born recruiter or she's a born recruiter. Can someone, in your experience, in the 10 years of doing this, if someone doesn't really have that nature, can they learn to be a good recruiter, in your opinion?
Absolutely. And I think you could say the same thing, you know, well, he's a born salesman. I think you used that example. There are no born salesmen. There are people that are really good at talking and that have engaging personalities that I think we would look at them, or some people would look at them and say, wow, but they can just recruit. Well, no, they can communicate, and they're very natural, and they love people, and they love to engage in conversation, but that's not the act and the science of selling. It's not the act and science of recruiting. That's just they happen to have that one of those personalities that loves to talk. I think that coaches can learn to have that personality. I'll use myself as the example. Growing up and as a kid early in college, I was very quiet. I'm more of somebody like I'll stay in the background and not be somebody that engages right away necessarily. But when it's time to either talk to coaches in what I do for a living and you know my passion professionally, I'll be up and I can engage with the best of them. In a selling situation, I can sell with the best of them. I can lead somebody through that conversation because I've been taught how to do that, how to walk somebody through a decision-making process. So that's not an inherited skill. It's not that some coaches are born with just this special ability, and I'm more quiet, so I could never learn that. I really find that it's a matter of a desire, that the coach may not want to learn that, may not want to put themselves in an uncomfortable position by being more outgoing, by learning to make eye contact and smile and ask questions. And I hear all the time, you know, from coaches, you know, well, certain coaches, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to push somebody. I don't like recruiting because I feel like I'm selling something. Well, you are selling something, and the recruit needs to be sold on your school, and they're actually looking to be sold, because if you can put yourself in the recruit's position, they have five or six schools that they're interested in. They're all sounding the same. All of the brochures from the colleges kind of look the same, and many of the coaches approach it the same way. And so here's this poor 17 or 18-year-old kid, or now sometimes it's 14 and 15-year-old kids, that are being expected to make a decision. Everybody sounds the same. Nobody really says, here's why you should come to our school. They do a great job of saying, we want you, and here's what you'll love about it, but they don't go into the process of, here's why you should want to come to our school, and here's why you should want me as your coach. And that is what all prospects and their parents are desperate for. They're desperate for who's going to really stand out and give me something that's a difference maker. That is a learned skill. So every coach listening to this, if you're thinking, well, I'm one of those people that just, I didn't inherit great communication, I'm more shy, you can still learn how to communicate. You can still learn how to sell. It really is going to come down to, do you want to do that, and are you going to put yourself out of a comfort zone to learn those skills? Any great recruiter, you take any sport in college athletics, any great recruiter, whether it's a Nick Saban in Alabama, John Calipari at Kentucky, you name your sport and who the great recruiter is that you admire. All of those people took time to study and learn psychology. How do I market? How do I communicate? How do I lead somebody through a discussion? How, when somebody presents me with an objection, how do I overcome that objection? All of those are learned skills. It's just that most coaches don't want to take the time to learn them.
For those coaches that were born before the late 80s, early 90s, and without all the cell phones growing up and those things, it used to be, Dan, that it was just send as much mail as possible, overboard, go overwhelm the family with mail and just deluge them with material. And that was the way we all heard the stories about the kids getting 500 pieces of mail or whatever. Right. And that was the way to do it. Now, does that still work?
No. I mean, not in any significant way. I think, you know, at best, it's something that a recruit sees. And there are still programs in football and men's basketball that will do something like that. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to disparage any certain program that's doing it, because everybody has to decide how we are going to market our individual college sports program. And I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. I think at best, what doing something like that does is it gets you the attention of the athlete for a little bit of time. But they know that it's produced. They know that it's a shtick. I mean, this is the one thing I tell coaches all the time, is that this is the most technologically savvy, the most over-marketed to generation in the history of mankind. In our country, these teenagers that coaches are recruiting are more advanced than 90% of the rest of the world when it comes to understanding marketing. So when you do that, they say, wow, kind of cool. I got these 150 or 500 letters from this school. And the next day it's, okay, now what? So it gets the attention for that day. If it was as simple as whoever sent out the most mail wins, then my job would be very easy. I would be in probably the print business, and I would be telling coaches, look, print your stuff through us, and we're going to just overwhelm them, and I'll make it, you know, cost effective for you to just send, you know, your competition sending 3,000 pieces every week. We'll do 3,500 pieces, and that'll win you the athlete. But of course, that's ridiculous, and that doesn't happen. and that's not the way kids make a decision. I think what happens, it goes back to the horse race analogy and it being a marathon and not a sprint. If it's all fluff, and I would say sending 150, 500 letters at one time is fluff. If it's all fluff, it's not going to earn the long-term interest of a recruit. I had a client that we started working with, and she was telling me about a situation that has happened to her frequently the last couple of years that we'll fix. But her situation is has been that she loves talking to kids on the phone, very friendly and outgoing, sends them birthday cards, Christmas cards, decorates stuff, sends it to the kid, a lot of visuals, has never taken the time in her 4 years of being a head coach, has never taken the time to really methodically say, here's why you belong at this school. Well, what has happened, and the reason that we've started working with her, because she came to us, what has happened time after time is she gets really close and deep into with these really good athletes. And at the Division I level, these athletes at some point want some meat on the bone. They want to know, why should I go to your school? And time after time, what she hears, and many coaches hear the same thing, that kind of take this approach, she gets the phone call, coach, you know, I love talking to you. You are so much fun. You're the best coach that I've gotten to know. And I feel like I know you more closely than anybody else. You're like an older sister to me. And I loved everything that we've talked about. And that's why it is so hard to tell you that I'm going over here to this other school. And this has happened with this coach 4, 5, 6 times with really some of her top kids. Well, we did, in digging down, what we found was one of the criticisms or one of the areas of improvement for her from her own recruits was she needs to be more specific about what we're going to be doing here, why we should come here. And so that is a problem that a lot of coaches face. So it's not just send out the most stuff or be the most colorful or we're going to have more sparkles on the little thing that we, you know, send out for Christmas from our team to our recruits. It's not about that. It's about the story, and it's about it being long-term, consistent, and told in a creative way that engages an athlete versves just tries to sell them on a school.
You refer to a lot of surveys in your newsletters and your emails. So can you talk a little bit about that? And I know you've discussed this already, but again, what do the surveys say? When you break it down, what are the important things from your surveys when those kids, they tell you? I know you talked about having a plan, but what are the things they're telling you what they want when they pick that college?
Right. I mean, I think it's important to say that at the core, any advice that we give a coach, anything that they would see in writing from us or in our work with them, that is based on research. It's not just this. This is not something that's been created where it's just Dan's opinion versus everybody else, and I'm right and they're wrong. My opinions have been shaped by the research, and so what we do is we research kids as they're going through the recruiting process, and we also research kids right after they get to a college campus as they've gone through the recruiting process, and we ask them to tell us what should coaches have done differently. Why'd you say no to this other school but yes to this one? And you start getting into the thousands of kids that pour into this and give you this data, you start to see some real trends. I think one of the big things that they want, and I mentioned it in answering the last question, is they want consistency. Again, going back to the idea of it being a marathon, not a sprint, a lot of college coaches will send out 2 or 3 things at the start, or they'll be great on that first phone call, but after that, they're done. They don't have anything else to talk about. Well, you have to figure out a way to get something in the hands of that athlete, whether it's a letter, email, something, that says concretely, here's why you should want to come to our school. And if a coach is listening to this, and I mean, I really want them to stop and assess what it is that they're doing and what it is that they're sending out. Does your material say, here's why you should come to our school? Here's why you should want to play for me? Or is the material all about how good the school is, how many acres, how many championships you've won? That's not telling a kid why they should come there. That's what every other coach in the country is sending them. That's just facts. That's bullet points on a fact sheet, and that is not how this generation of kid makes a decision. They want to know, why should I go there? What is the difference between your school and somebody else's? I'll share something that at the church that we go to, we have these little small group study things during the week, and last Sunday we were faced, because we've just moved our family and our office to North Carolina from California. So we did a cross-country move this summer. So we're taking the kids to a new church, we're getting involved, and so they have these small group studies that we want to get to know some people. So they had about 16 tables at this church, and you're supposed to go around and try to figure out, you know, a study to be involved with and some people to get to know. And so it occurred to me at the time, wow, this is just like a kid that's getting recruited, because you're trying to make an assessment, you're starting with zero information. And so we talked to a bunch of different people. You know, the one that we ended up picking, I didn't even realize this until after we were already back at home. We picked the one where the person was talking about, you know, their group and where they met and everything and whose house it was at. And he said, well, plus you should come to ours because we're the best study. And there was something about that appealed to me. And I told my wife, I'll do that one. That's because I like the fact that he said we're going to be the best study. Now, I don't know if it's going to be the best group or the best study or the most convenient time or whatever, but he said it, and I was looking for some reason to differentiate. And that's an example of what coaches need to do. Now, if you're not comfortable as a coach saying we're the best program, okay, find something else that says here's why you should want to be here. Because if you don't do that, you're going to have a kid that is, they might end up at your school, but it's not going to be consistently kids ending up at your school. And it's not going to be for the reason you probably want them. And it's just so important that you have to have something you're standing on. You have to, I'll look for some way, if we're working with a client, we're trying to develop their story, I'll look for a reason why a kid wouldn't want to go to that school. Who's wrong for your program? Because I think sometimes you need to define who's wrong to figure out who's right and be able to talk about that. And not enough colleges do that. Colleges in general are horrible at that. Admissions departments, they want everybody. If you're breathing and you have a certain GPA, it doesn't matter where you're from. We just want you at our school. Well, that even becomes a little disingenuous because, you know, not every school is right for every kid, and there's better schools than you know, for one kid versus another. And so it's this problem, I think, that it's plaguing all of college admissions, because, again, you're marketing to these really savvy kids who are looking for something specific and a reason to say yes, and coaches and admissions departments are really just sort of spouting off, here's what kind of offense we run, here's this. You know, we've got a great campus. We've got a, you know, great dorms. Well, everybody says that. Everybody has that. And I just wish more coaches would be different.
Our guest today is Dan Tudor with DanTudor.com. You can get more information there. Dan, you recently started Tudor University. How'd that come about? And what can someone expect if they get involved and enroll in Tudor University?
Well, what it is, it's one of the things that we offer coaches that I'm really excited about, because what it essentially is an online school. We kept hearing from athletic directors and head coaches that were doing hiring that, well, I wish I knew, you know, that there's some sort of training program I could put my coaches through to have them really understand how to recruit. Or when I'm hiring a coach, I wish I knew how good they recruit, because all the coaches, you take a coach that, you know, you're coming from an SEC school that apply for a job, well, from an X's and O's standpoint, they're all going to be pretty good. And then it gets down to, okay, what are their other skills? And one of those skills is recruiting. So what we developed to try to answer that need is an online training and certification course that teaches coaches from beginning to end how to recruit, and we take it sort of level by level. We've just introduced our third level of training, and a lot of coaches in different parts of the country have completed the first two levels, and they've been certified. So if they don't apply for a job, we can say that they are level two certified through Tudor University, and they have been trained. And when I say certified, they have to read material, and this is on their own time. They read material, they watch training videos, and there is an assessment test, and you have to score an 85% on that assessment test, or else you don't pass the course. You have to start it over. So it's real learned experience, and there are you know, examples that we want sent back of what needs to change about your recruiting letter, your recruiting email. But it's really just something. It is, we're trying to answer the need that there is no training program for coaches on how to communicate and how to do some of the things that you and I have been talking about in this podcast, Tom, that are really needed if you're going to be successful. And so the feedback we've been getting from it is just tremendous, and we're really excited about what it's doing for coaches. We've even had a couple of coaches get jobs, you know, from being able to list that they knew how to recruit. So it's working as intended.
Is it more than 1 year? Is it more than a 1 year program?
It can be a 1 year program. It can be a 9 year program. It really just depends on how fast a coach wants to go through it. There is nothing artificially holding them back. We knew one coach could have some special money in his budget to work with us for 1 year, and went through Tudor University, and we did some other things with him. He crammed because he wanted to get as much in that year that he could. So it's a pretty nominal, for a coach, it's a pretty nominal annual fee. It's $500 annually to go through the program, and you can complete the whole program, or you could take your time and do it multiple years. So we've tried to make it affordable, easily accessible, where a coach can do it on their time, and but still have the good in-depth learning experience. It's not, I mean, you never with a college coach, you never want to put something out that is cheesy or done halfway. And again, all the feedback we've gotten is that it's actually a little harder than they would like, but that's good. We want it to be hard because, frankly, I'm okay if every coach doesn't do it. I would rather have coaches that are more savvy to the process and they're more motivated to the process go through it so that they can do better long-term in recruiting and beat the ones that don't.
Dan, your recruiting conference has to be one of the most eclectic groups of people in the country. It's like a UN, it's like a United Nations meeting. There are coaches from every different sport, every walk of life. It was one of the best conferences, one of the best learning 3 days I had had. I've been to some. As older I get, I'm either getting dumber or whatever, but these things are getting really good. But yours was off the charts. I thought the speakers you had were top-notch, but I thought your audience was really good because they were across the board.
Right.
Everybody needs to come to that. How did you come up with that model to run your conference that way?
I wish I could say it was, you know, some brilliant plan that was the plan from the beginning. Really, we started about 8 years ago with a small gathering of coaches. We had about 23 coaches in Indianapolis at the first National Collegiate Recruiting Conference, and it was designed to have coaches interact. To actually, in the setting that you said was really neat, was sort of a UN type setting. What I noticed in speaking at different coaching conferences is that the basketball coaches get together and the football coaches get together, softball, golf, track and field, they all have their own conference, but very rarely does a Division III softball coach get to sit down with the D1 men's basketball coach. And they very rarely sit, the D1 men's basketball coach doesn't get to sit down with the recruiting coordinator that's a Division II football recruiting coordinator. And when I go to campuses, it's amazing to me that sometimes when we're gathering together and doing a workshop with an athletic department, that's the first time all the coaches have been together in the last 2 years, in some cases. And so initially what we saw was a need to gather everybody together to just let have 3 days as a thinker's conference to say, I'm going to plan out my recruiting. I want to become smarter. I'm going to take recruiting seriously, but I also want access to people I don't normally have access to. We had somebody from the NCAA speak a couple of years ago, and they came in a little bit early, and I met them and said hi to them, and we were listening to a couple of the speakers, and he came over to me and said, this is unlike anything I've ever seen. I cannot believe that all of these coaches are sharing the information, what they do. Because, I mean, Tom, you've been to your basketball conference on the men's side. You know, there's not a lot of sharing of strategy that goes on. You'll renew friendships, and you might go to some chalk talk strategy sessions and stuff. But, I mean, there it's more about what are we going to – we'll give you just enough to make it interesting. We're not going to give you everything. Well, mm-hmm. at our conference, you know, what I love is that coaches tend to just say, hey, here's what we do. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working. And it's sort of where they suspend the rivalries. They suspend the territorial nature of their job for the weekend, and they just open up and share. But if they're a part of it, then they're also getting information. And then they go back and they hunker down and they compete against each other. But it's a really cool setting that has really developed into something that is – you know, bigger certainly than just one person, than just me. It is just a really unique gathering. It's I think leading up to it, I always think, why in the world do we organize this? It is like a three-ring circus trying to bring everything together. And then about halfway through, it dawns on me, and I say, oh, okay, this is why we do it, because it's a really cool event that is built for smart people who are serious. I mean, you went through the conference. It's not fluff. We go about 9 hours on Saturday, and it is speaker after speaker after speaker, because we want to pack as much in as we can and give a lot of value to the coaches. And it grows every year, and it's just one of the highlights of the year for me.
No, and it's a circus in a great way. I mean, you almost, when you first walk in, it's like you say, you feel like the new kid in school. You feel out of place. All right, there's nobody here like me, and I'm the oddball here. But I always tell coaches, if you're not getting ideas from the other coaches, I mean, I drove our football secretary crazy at LSU. And when I was at Alabama, same thing. I'd get as many ideas. I was up and down the halls at LSU getting ideas from everybody else, our gymnastics team, whoever had the ideas. I think you have to do that. Dan, right. I'm going to throw
– And not enough coaches do.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one last question for you, and I appreciate your time. What's the biggest thing we as coaches we miss in recruiting? What are we missing as a whole as coaches?
Wow, I will narrow it down just because you asked me to one thing. There's I think several things we could probably do another podcast just on that topic. The one thing that I would say is that what most coaches don't do that I wish they would, and I'll sort of put that into the category of what they're missing. They don't ask for the commitment. They don't ask for the sale. If we were in business, you know, what makes an unsuccessful salesperson is they'll go and they'll go through the whole presentation and they don't ask for the sale. Well, I think in the example I gave earlier, that small group leader at church saying, well, we're the best. You should want to come to ours. He was essentially asking for the sale. You should come and you know, be a part of our little group that we've got going because it's the best group. Okay, I'll do that. Most coaches will say, well, I don't want to ask for the sale. I don't want to ask for the commitment because, I don't want to pressure the kid. Well, you cannot, especially if you're not offering a full scholarship, which is the case with most coaches, you're not pressuring a kid. You cannot force a kid or trick a kid into paying $40,000 a year to come go to your school and compete for you. Nobody can do that. The kids tell us all the time, recruits tell us that the way they judge whether or not a coach is serious about them is if they ask them to commit. So I don't think it's rocket science or brain surgery, going back to one of your first questions. But when a kid says that, I think that a coach should hear that and say, all right, when we know that kid and that recruit is right for our program, whether they've been to campus or not, whether it's only our first phone call, third phone call, we've been in 1 month or 8 months, whatever it is, when we know we want them, my feeling is you should ask for the commitment. Now, you might be prepared to hear no, but it's not, and that's fine. because I think no in that case means not yet. So you might ask again in a couple of weeks. You might ask again. All the great recruiters ask. And I think one of the big things that is missing with college coaches and college sports is that not enough of them ask for the sale. They kind of stand professionally off in the corner. Okay, I've given you the information. I'll wait here. You tell me what you want. And another coach gets that athlete. We could, real sort of quick thought to put in, we could say, philosophically, we could say that it's wrong to set a deadline for a recruit. Coaches would say, hey, you're here on campus, hope it's been great, you have our offer. Now that you've been here, you've got 48 hours to decide. A lot of coaches, most coaches would say, I would never do that. That's pressuring the kid, that's unfair. It's not, you know, that is something I would never do because I don't want to pressure a kid. And yet, most of the time, what happens? That kid commits to that school. Because finally somebody has said, here's inbounds and out of bounds. Here's the right way to do it. Here's the wrong way to do it. And you need to make a decision. We want you. Do you want to be here? And there's magic in that. And I wish more coaches would do that or find a way within their personality that they feel comfortable doing that, because when that happens, coaches succeed. And they get early commitments because that's what the kids are looking for. So I wish the coaches would stop missing that one little easy thing to do that is within everybody's budget. You can ask. That does not take anything out of anyone's budget. It really is just understanding what this generation of athlete wants.
Dan, if a coach is not on your email list, which everyone should be, but if they're not on there and don't have access or have not contacted you yet, what's the best way to get in touch with you and to get your newsletter? Let our listeners know that.
Yeah, you can sign up for the newsletter in the upper right-hand area of our website at dantudor.com, dantudor.com. My email address is dan@dantudor.com. My phone number is 661-809-6200. So if you're listening to this and you want to text or call, it's what I do all day is we talk to coaches. We're interested in talking to and working with the coaches who get it and understand how important recruiting is, because it's the lifeblood of any program. You look at any program that is failing and why a coach gets fired, it always comes down to recruiting. It's not because they didn't call a timeout at the right time, or it's recruiting. It's recruiting 100% of the time. And so we love working with coaches who understand that and who want to take probably a smarter, more methodical, systematic approach towards the whole effort. So that's how they would get in touch.
And make sure if you're out there, Dan used to be out in California, way out there, and now he's back in the South. He's in North Carolina. So if you have a school that's close by and maybe your budget can't afford to fly him in, but you could maybe your budget is a little bit better, I would highly, highly recommend if you get to his conference, Tudor University, make sure you get on his newsletter. I think one of the best things Dan does is his content is really good, but I think you cross over every division, male or female. I think one of the best things is whether it's a non-scholarship school, partial scholarship, or a high major, you cover everything. And so I think that's why you do it, nobody else does in the recruiting space and helping coaches. So that's why I think your information is good.
And I think we're doing on a very micro level what you're trying to do and doing successfully at a larger level in being an ally to coaches. We're an ally to coaches, but it's very specifically on the recruiting side. And so I think you and I are kindred spirits in that way, and we're trying to help coaches. Most of the things that they can find on our website are free. But if there's work to be done, we're ready to do it with a coach that gets it. So I really appreciate the time to talk to them and answer great questions for you, Tom. And I thank you on behalf of the coaches for the work that you're doing and the resource you're providing too.
Thank you, Dan. It's a learned skill. I think we both understand
very
that
much.
It's something you got to learn as far as recruiting. We've had Dan Tudor today as our guest. Dan, thank you very much for being part of our show.
Tom, thank you very much.
Have a great day. This has been the Coach's Ally. The Coach's Ally exists to help coaches advance in their career and to enhance the coaching experience.